seated. And thank you for joining in the song service this morning. And we're going to have a special now just before the preaching service.
As the earth is full of beauty, as the sun is full of light, as the ocean swells with water, and the mountains burst with height, overwhelm my soul with you, Lord, like the waters fill the sea. Jesus, without measure, that my heart be full of thee. Come as beauty that engulfs me, come as joy that floods my soul. Come as wisdom to direct me. May I yield to your control. Every thought and every motive, all of you and none of me. Give me, Jesus, without measure, that my heart be full of thee. Be my power, reign within me, vanquish every wrong desire. Be my purpose, be my passion, set my languid soul afire. Every word and every action, for your glory this my plea. Give me, Jesus, without measure, that my heart be full of thee. May my life exalt you only, every breath lift up your name. Fill my being with your Spirit, let no empty part remain. Purge the dross and melt the coldness, conquer sin and set me free. Give me, Jesus, without measure, that my heart be full of thee.
Well, Todd's going to preach for us this morning. Let me say as well, he'll be back tomorrow, or not tomorrow. No, he won't. Tonight he'll be back to preach again, and then they'll be leaving actually tomorrow morning, heading up to Northwest Canada, and they'll be taking their truck and trailer on a ferry for the very first time in their years of evangelism. Hopefully they keep it in the center of the ferry. But Todd and I have known each other for many years. I consider him a good friend, maybe even a best friend. I guess he's my BFF. But I've enjoyed his friendship. He likes running like I do. He likes coffee. That's enough right there. And we've enjoyed our time with their family over the years. But as I said, come November, first Sunday, he'll be a pastor in Georgia. And I don't know how often we'll get to cross paths after today, as a matter of fact. So he will be missed, will he not, folks? He's been a big part of this church as well. And so, Todd, we're going to let you have this pulpit again today.
Thank you, Pastor. Another thing we share a passion for is people and the Word of God. Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to Mark chapter 9. Let me just say this, man, if you missed VBS, family VBS, you missed it. And if that makes you a little bit wistful or jealous, great! I'm sorry, some of you couldn't help it. You had other obligations, you just couldn't be here. But if you could have been here and you weren't, don't miss out next year, all right? And it may be that you have to take a few days off of work next year in order to be here for this, but let me tell you, it would absolutely be worth it. Be here, be a part of it. This was awesome. Let me tell you, every night we had probably 10 to 15 first-time visitors every night. And there was a great response to the preaching of God's Word. And part of the reason I believe is that as we would have the games and the different things, and we were singing songs that we would have sung in Sunday school or children's church, after that fun that we had together and those things that we shared in common, when it came time for the Word of God, people's hearts were open, they were ready. And we had some wonderful opportunities to sit down with some individuals and just share more scriptural truth and help people pray and work through some things. And I know that that is not over just because the dates of that meeting are over. I know that God's going to continue to do a work as a result of that VBS. And so you're going to want to be sure that next year that you are here for that and that you are invested in that part of this ministry. I do not know how often we'll be able to come back here to Grace in Taylorville, but we're going to be getting some vacation days here and there when we're down in Georgia, and we're already planning on taking a few of those vacation days and going to different churches like this one and coming back just to check up on y'all and keep Pastor straight and all that kind of stuff, or he can keep me straight. Probably works better both ways, right? But we love you folks, and we are so thankful for the times that God's allowed us to share with you. So let's look at the Word of God this morning. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 14. We're going to read down through verse 27, but not all at once. I'm just going to read verses 14 and 15 and 16, and then we're going to look at this very first part of the story, this true account in Mark chapter 9. The Bible says, "And when he," this is Jesus, "when he came to his disciples and saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running together, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?'" First thing I want you to see is the ruckus. There is a ruckus going on. These people are in a great stir. And stop and look in the context right before this. What takes place in the scripture? The Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus goes up with Peter, James, and John. There he meets with Moses and Elijah. It is truly a mountaintop experience. And when Jesus comes right back into ministry, he comes into the middle of a ruckus. Now, one of the reasons it's so important to point out all of this that was going on, the scribes were questioning with the disciples are perplexed because Jesus had given them authority to cast out demons. One time he sent them out and they cast out demons, and when they came back, they were rejoicing that they had power to help people, even to the extent of casting demons out. So they had that authority, and this was very surprising. As a matter of fact, at the end of this account, and we will not address this morning, but they said, "Lord, why could not we cast them out?" They were shocked. And the scribes are talking and they're discussing, and there's this great big ruckus going on. But think about the father of this son. Because look what the next verse says. The Bible says in verse 17, "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son which hath a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not.'" In the middle of all this ruckus is a man who comes trying to get help for his son.
And it seems like that is getting put on hold because the disciples seem to be powerless in this situation. The scribes and the disciples are talking back and forth, so they are distracted. And when Jesus comes on the scene and he asks what's going on, this one who came with a sense of desperate need says, "Jesus, I came to ask your disciples to cast the demon out of my son." They couldn't do it. So look at Jesus, what Jesus says, because I want you to see here a request in just a minute. But Jesus answered in verse 19, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer? You bring him unto me." They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." So we've seen the ruckus. Now, second of all, look at the request. "And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." This is serious. This is a deep spiritual problem that was also a physical threat, not just to his health, but to his very life. And look at the request. "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." There's a big two-letter word in that request, and it is "if." Now, maybe this dad of this son had a legitimate reason to question the power of Jesus, because Jesus had given authority to his own disciples. They may have even said that. "I can't understand why we can't cast out this demon. Jesus gave us this authority. They were his disciples." And so when Jesus comes and the man makes this request, he says, "If you can do anything, if your disciples couldn't, maybe you can't." And I wonder sometimes, Christian, if the unsaved world around us questions the power of God because of the lack of the power that they see in our lives. They see us defeated. They see us discouraged. They see us doubting. Folks, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. And I wonder if there are unbelievers around us that say, "Well, I don't know. Because that person claims to be a born-again believer, and they can't claim to be walking with God, and I'm not seeing victory in their life. Maybe I don't see much power. Maybe God really can't meet my need." But this man states his doubt of Christ when he says, "If thou canst do anything." But he says, "If you can, have compassion on us and help us." Now, I want you to see Jesus' response in the next verse. Verse 23, "Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now, the first part of that is a direct response. It's a play on words. This man says to Jesus, "Lord, if thou canst." Jesus' response says, "Oh, no, if thou canst." See, the question is not, can God do it? Luke 1:37 declares, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." The Apostle Paul exults in the fact in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think." God's able to do above what we can even imagine. Beyond what we ever ask, beyond what we ever think, God's capacity is much greater. God is infinite. God is all powerful. And Jesus says something that is an important note that you need to catch this morning. The question is not, can God meet my need? The question is not, can God heal me? God is the creator. God is the great physician. Jesus said of himself in John chapter 11, "I am the resurrection and the life." Yes, he can. The one who spoke the world into existence can supply for your financial and material needs. The wisdom that you lack, God is eternal truth. He is wisdom. And he can grant you that wisdom. The question is not, can God meet your need? The question is, will you trust the one who has the ability to meet your need, to the one who has the resources? This man says, "Lord, if you can do anything." And Jesus said, "No, that is not the prerequisite for my blessing. It's not, do I have the capacity to do it?" The question is, will you believe? My dad has coined this phrase, faith honors God, and God always honors faith. The issue here is, will this man believe Christ? Hey, maybe this morning you have a deep spiritual need in your life. There's a battle. You say, "I'm a born-again believer, and there are things that I know are displeasing to God that God forbids in His Word, but I yield to my flesh, and it just seems like I can't get the victory." Just like it seemed in this situation, like this demon could not be cast out of this boy.
Maybe you say, well, there's something I know I should do, for James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I fail. When I'm supposed to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, I am afraid. When I'm supposed to take a gracious stand for the truth, I compromise that truth. When I should be doing this, I don't do that. Maybe I should be giving. And the Lord impresses on my heart through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit leads and says, you need to meet that need. And I say, yeah, but my reserves are getting low. And Lord, what will I do? If I give this, I have nothing to fall back on. And God says, fall back on me. Trust in me. My reserves are limitless. And so this man in his request is, well, Lord, if you can do anything. And Jesus says, No, the question is not if I can. The question is, will you believe? And then Jesus opens up an infinite realm of possibility. Look at this in verse 23. All things are possible to him that believeth. Why? Because your faith is in the God of all possibilities. Now look in verse 24. I want you to see the reaction of this man to Jesus' confrontation that he would exercise faith in Christ. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. You see, he didn't say, well, I tell you what, let me see if I can try some other things, and if they don't work, I'll come back. I believe, you know, as a human father with a son and daughter, if there were a spiritual or physical affliction like this that my children were enduring, I would do everything in my power. I would seek out everything that offered any kind of a spark of hope to help my children. I believe that this man had exhausted every resource. He had gone to everybody and tried to do everything that he could to get his son the victory and get released from this demon. And nothing had worked. This man did not piously say, well, Lord, let me pray about that and I'll get back with you. The Bible says that immediately. And you know what? That needs to characterize your response this morning. As the Spirit of God speaks to your heart and points out that thing with which you are struggling, that need that you have, that doubt in your life, that question that hovers over you like a dark shadow, you need to, like this man, respond immediately. And this man cried out with tears. This was something deep in his soul. And he said, Lord, I believe. Now, folks, I am not preaching a name it and claim it gospel this morning. Because God will not and cannot be manipulated. But what I am preaching this morning is that we need to have a statement from our heart that cries out to the Lord, I believe. I believe your word enough to obey it. I believe the promises of your word and I claim them. I trust you, Lord, with my future, with my present. Hey, folks, maybe some this morning, you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ with your eternal soul. You say, well, I try to change and I try to reform and I try to do things that are pleasing to God. And it seems like I don't have any peace with God. Well, the Bible says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Has there ever been that time in your life where you recognize and you acknowledge before God, God, I've broken your law. I've sinned. I deserve eternal death. I know that's the punishment for my sin is hell. And I deserve eternal death in hell. But have you recognized and owned in your soul that Jesus, you are God, the living Son of God. You died on the cross and shed your blood for me. You bore my sin on the cross and you took my punishment. And you paid the price with your blood that I could never pay. And Jesus, you rose again. You're the living Son of God. I'm asking you, I'm trusting you. Please forgive me of my sin. Please give me everlasting life. You may not have coined it in those exact words, but have you prayed a prayer of faith from your heart like that, where you cast yourself and your soul completely upon the mercy and grace of God through Jesus Christ? That's what you need to do. Say, how do I do that? Romans 10, 9 and 10. The Bible declares that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You say, that's it? Yeah, it's so simple. That's right. Jesus said, unless you come with the faith of a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Why would God make it so simple and easy? Because the Lord is not willing, 2 Peter 3:9, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves you. He wants to forgive you of your sin and give you everlasting life. He wants to spend all of eternity with you. But God is a God of justice and holiness, and he must punish your sin. And you will suffer that in the lake of fire in the second death for all of eternity unless you take God's one way of provision. And his name is Jesus Christ. This man said, Lord, I believe. But then look at the last part of his reaction to Christ. He says, help thou mine unbelief. Literally translates, Lord, I struggle with unbelief. I believe, but there's still doubt in my heart. Lord, help me against the doubt that remains in my heart. Isn't it wonderful how God knows us? The psalmist said that God knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Do you remember in the garden, in Christ's final hours before his betrayal and his crucifixion, that Christ goes into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and he tells the disciples to pray, and he goes off by himself and he prays, and he comes back, and what are the disciples doing? They fell asleep at prayer meeting, didn't they? And Jesus awakes them, but what does he say? He says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, in the hope that I glean from this passage of Scripture this morning is this, that my faith may be weak, it may be small, it may be fragile. Let me ask you, how much faith do you have for God to answer and to honor your request? Jesus said, if you have faith the grain of a mustard seed. See, the point is not how much faith you have or how strong your faith is. It is that you place what faith you have completely in Almighty God. Your faith ought not to be, this, I hope this doesn't confuse you, your faith ought not be in your faith. Your faith ought to be in the living God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this man said, Lord, assist me against that unbelief. Now, I want you to see Christ's restoration of this boy. In verse 25, the Bible says that when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Do you see that this man says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, but my faith is weak, it is fragile, it is tiny. It is alive, but barely. And Jesus doesn't say, boy, come back when you got greater faith. Come back when you got a little more spiritual attitude, son. What does Jesus do? Jesus grants that man's requests. And he cast the demon out of that boy. And I believe that day both that father and that son were saved because their faith was placed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus honored that man's faith, as weak as it was. Hey, friend, you may say, I don't know if God forgive me of my sin. You don't know how many wicked things I've done. Or you might say, I've been a religious person and I believed in the system of good works and all these kind of things. And I've heard this gospel that you're preaching, Brother Todd, but you know what? I've rejected it. Would God now accept me when I have rejected him so many times? And the answer is absolutely he will. Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You come to Jesus this morning for salvation, he will not turn you away. There's never been a person that's come to Jesus Christ in good faith and asked him for eternal life, forgiveness of sin, and Jesus said no. Jesus always says yes. And he will say yes to you, and he will save your soul right now, this morning, and you can know for sure you have everlasting life and you are right with God forever. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have you been using that little if word with God? Now, always we need to pray according to the example and the pattern of our Lord. What did Jesus pray to his Father? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we ought to temper all our prayers. We ought to bring our requests, and we need to pray with faith, and we need to pray specifically. But we always need to say, but Lord, I am a finite, fragile, sinful, limited human being, and you are perfect, eternal God, and your way is best, and your wisdom is limitless. So Lord, if what I am asking is not within your will and is not best, Lord, would you answer it beyond what I could expect? according to your will. But I come knowing that you hear me and knowing that you have the power and the love to meet whatever the need. And Lord, you know that my faith is weak and it's fragile. And you know there is still in my flesh sometimes there is doubt. But Lord, I've been made a new creation and in my new man, in the spirit. Lord, I believe you. And would you strengthen my faith this morning? And you know how your faith is strengthened? It's when you take your faith when it is weak and small like this man's and you exercise it in God and you see his faithfulness. And the next time you come to him, you are encouraged because God was faithful and he honored my faith as weak as it was. And you know what? God is never changing. He is immutable. This is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God himself says, I am the Lord, I change not. And the unchanging God who met my need then will meet my need now because God is always faithful. And won't you come this morning with your needs and your burdens? Peter admonishes the believers that we are to cast all our care upon him, for he cares for us. So this morning, during the invitation, you have opportunity now to respond to the truth that you have heard. Friend, if you're not sure where your soul would spend eternity, won't you come today during the invitation? Pastor will be here in the front. You can come to him and quietly say, Pastor, I want to make sure that I have things settled with God. Or you may say, I want to accept God's gift of salvation. Something like that. Pastor will know what you mean. If you're a girl or a lady, we'll have a lady take the word of God, take you to a quiet place, show you the way of salvation. It's simple. It will only take a few minutes. If you have any questions, they'll be answered from the word of God. If you're a boy or a man, we'll have a man take the word of God and help you from the scriptures. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wouldn't you be willing to come forward this morning and kneel here at this front pew or here at these steps and pray and maybe even let somebody else come alongside you and put an arm around you and pray with you and encourage you? And if you say, I need some help, there's something specific I'm going through, I would like some biblical counsel and I would like some help from my pastor, why don't you let him know about that? So that he can minister to your needs. Folks, we want to help you. But if you will not share with us what your need is, we may not know what it is and we may not be able to help you. So humble yourself this morning before the Lord. Get the help that you need. You will thank God and rejoice that you did. Let's bow our heads now for prayer. Our wonderful Heavenly Father, you who know how many hairs are on our head. Not only is that a number we don't know about ourselves, but that is a constantly changing number. And you are constantly updated about the most minute detail of our lives because of your infinite love and care for us. And you, Father, who search the heart, know who here is saved and who is unsaved, who has eternal life and who still has the sword of justice hanging over their soul and they are still condemned to eternal death. And you love each one. And you have paid the price and you have made the way of salvation because you sacrificed your only son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf. And may those here this morning who are not born again by grace through faith, would you, through your Holy Spirit, reveal to them their need, shine the light of truth into their understanding that they may see the gospel in all of its beautiful simplicity. And may they turn to Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life, and put their faith in him today. For those of us who have trusted you with our soul, why in the world won't we trust you with the details of our lives? Why would we make excuses over the spiritual battles that we are enduring and keep yielding to our flesh and to the devil? Oh Lord, may we be strengthened today because we step out by faith. As weak and fragile as it may be, may we exercise it in you and come to you in prayer. And may you do a mighty work and strengthen us to walk faithfully with you. Give us, Lord, those victories. Show yourself strong on our behalf. May that show your glory to those around us as they see you, the eternal God, intervening in the affairs of us simple creatures. We pray these things in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed, in a moment we'll stand. Chris will play him on the piano. I've already explained the invitation. Please be willing to respond as God's Spirit has spoken to your life this morning. Shall we stand now? As we're standing, Chris is playing our hymn of invitation.